Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
And that was pretty, it was alright, we had a few million people tuning in to watch it, So speaking here on live online to you guys tonight is shooting in stuff compared to sitting there with a few million people watching. And I was there representing CVM, Christian Vision for Men, the ministry organisation that I worked for at the time. And when I got the email confirming my appearance, my stomach tightened a little bit in my belly, and I just felt as if my feet lifted off the ground ever so slightly. And my first thought was, wow, this will really raise the profile of our ministry in the country. It'll be a really good thing. And the second thought was, how can I lose half a stone in 3 days? And I was really excited, but at the same time, I was also very, very nervous. But somehow I managed to get through that experience without totally embarrassing myself. See, being on prime time television news shows is one of the best ways to try to announce big news. Public relations professionals work hard at securing these opportunities, trying to get their guests in front of millions of eyeballs. But when God announced the birth of Jesus to the world, he used the exact opposite approach. He didn't send Jesus to BBC News or Sky News or GMTV or even Loose Woman, but he sent the host of heaven to a common field outside of Bethlehem. And the people he chose as spokesmen were unpolished, sweaty, uncouth shepherds. Who would have believed it? And today, shepherds are romanticised in nearly every single Christmas nativity play. And many of us have donned a modified pillowcase and grabbed a walking stick to appear in a Christmas nativity at church or at school. And I was just thinking, I was preparing this, a few years back at church I got to dress up as a wise man, and then the year after I got to dress up as a shepherd. So I think next Christmas I'll be the donkey, the rate I'm going at. But in the first century though, nobody thought that shepherds were cute and nobody thought that they were important. But they were. They were there, the very first to know Christmas. Shepherds were not really considered part of a polite society in those days. They were required to tend the flocks outside of the city gates. And the only reason shepherds had any significance was because sheep were a valuable commodity. As it got closer to Passover, when many lambs would be sacrificed in the temple, the work of a shepherd was and still is extraordinarily difficult. They had to wrangle stubborn sheep. They had to ensure their flocks were well fed. They had to fend off predators, wolves or even larger animals like bears or lions. Sometimes unsavoury characters would come in and try and steal the sheep. And this is why the shepherds were awake on this night. Most likely they were sleeping in shifts, ensuring the livestock was not compromised. And yet there is something significant and powerful about the inclusion of the shepherds in the Jesus story. Luke is reminding us by mentioning the shepherds that the kingdom of God isn't just for insiders, but for outsiders, like the shepherds. Like the poor classes where Mary and Joseph came from. It reminds us that the kingdom of God is often made up of not of the noble and wise, but of the underclass. Those people that have no business being anywhere near royalty. Emmanuel, God with us, means God is truly among all classes of people, not simply the connected or well-resourced. Yeah. Who would have believed it? Who would have believed it? See, the presence of the shepherds in the Christmas story also tells us a little bit about just what kind of Messiah Jesus would be. See, he would come to us as a saviour, as a king, as a lion, but also as our shepherd. Though this vocation was not viewed with respect by peers, Scripture always portrays shepherding as a high calling, perhaps the most repeated image of leadership in the Bible. God refers himself to as Israel's shepherd, and you can read about that in Genesis chapter 48 and 49 and also Jeremiah 31. And in Psalm 23, David is grateful to affirm that the Lord is my shepherd. The prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah often warned God's people about poor shepherds, bad leaders who exploited rather than led. To shepherd in God's world is to sacrificially care for the vulnerable ones under your protection. Shepherds in those days didn't drive their herds, but they gently led them. This is why I believe the announcement of the coming of Jesus himself, the Good Shepherd, had to happen in a shepherd's field. See, Luke is telling us that this ruler who is coming would be different than the rulers his people were used to seeing at the time. He wouldn't be a Caesar who ruled only by brute force. He wouldn't be a Herod who governed by treachery, murder, and paranoia. No, Jesus would be among all of his attributes that we can give to Jesus, he would be a shepherd. And he would entrust himself and his message to shepherds. The Lamb of God would first be held and handled by those who knew how to appreciate and care for a lamb. Yet more than anybody, these shepherds knew the ultimate faith of each lamb that they cared for. I imagine they heard the prophecy of Isaiah more keenly than anyone in the whole of Israel. They tended the very lambs that would be sacrificed at Passover. A lamb was to come who would be the final sacrifice. This lamb simply wouldn't cover their sins as sacrifices did, but he would actually become their sin. In John chapter 1, verse 29, this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus when he first appeared and started walking towards him. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." See, the good news of the coming of the Lamb of God, slain for sins of the world, announced among lambs, set aside for the temple sacrifice, and in the city of David, Israel's last great shepherd. This is God declaring to his people that Jesus, both the good shepherd and the Lamb of God, was coming to make true peace between God and men and women and children. See, one minute they were watching the flocks, maybe catching a few minutes of sleep after a night shift, and the next minute they were witnesses to salvation history. The display in the heavens must have been spectacular, as the sky around them filled with the host of heaven, praising God and worshipping him. Not even the greatest performance on earth with the most talented musicians could parallel the incredible celebration that unfolded on the big screen of the sky before them that night. The plan of God, conceived from time immemorial, the plan of redemption promised in the garden, was unfolding before their eyes. Who would have believed it? Who would have believed it? And I always find it interesting how God seems throughout Scripture to show up in the middle of an ordinary person's daily routine. And he still does that today. Shows up in the middle of an ordinary person's daily routine. See, it's not like the shepherds got an email invite. They didn't have to sign up via the church app. They didn't have to make sure they booked a place to come and attend in person. They weren't worried about if they couldn't get there with the ability to tune in online. They didn't get a notification saying, "Meet up at Field 1 for an epic event, you don't want to miss it." They were caught by surprise. And even though they were caught by surprise, these men of humble means and reputation responded in ways that proved God's wisdom and entrusted in the announcement of the birth of Jesus to them. Firstly, they believed. They believed. These men saw the angels, they heard the witnesses, and believed. See, the scribes of the day, they were too jaded. The royals were too sophisticated. The Romans were too dismissive. Please, don't ever fall into one of these categories. Don't ever be too jaded or too sophisticated or too dismissive to hear and understand the truth of Jesus coming into this world for you. But these humble outsiders had the simple faith to look up, to listen, and put their faith in the Christ child. Secondly, I can see that the shepherds, they could be odd. They could be odd. You see, the world of the first century was pretty cynical. False messiahs had come and gone, and the promise of Israel's restoration seemed more like a pipe dream. And the Roman flag, to top it all off and make it even worse, the Roman flag was waving high above the Temple Mount. But here were people still willing to be odd. Luke says the shepherds possessed great fear. And I think, wouldn't you? wouldn't I, if I was there? You're a lowly shepherd in a backwater town in a ravaged land, and all of a sudden the heavens open up and the angels start singing. Yes, you'd be fearful. I would be fearful too. And yet there's something wonderful about the ability to still be awed by God. You see, today's world is just as jaded and as the world of the first century. The same problems that existed then still exist now. See, smart people are way too enlightened to believe in the supernatural. Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Real spirituality is a healthy awe, a healthy reverence and fear of God, to know that you're nothing and that God is awesome. See, the closer you are to heaven, the greater your fear and awe of God is. And I hope that this Christmas season, that your heart is open to awe and to wonder this Christmas season. See, it's so easy to treat the kind of religious Christmas traditions as a sort of kind of ho-hum affair. We just go through the motions. This is what we do every single year at Christmas. This is what we like to do as a family. It's easy to go through the traditions and the motions. But God visits those who are willing to fear and to awe, to wonder and to meditate on the real story of Christmas. Have we stopped what we're doing long enough to see what God is doing around us? Have we sufficiently unplugged from the digital distractions that keep our minds moving but divert us from the supernatural? Are you willing to be awed by an awesome and powerful God and by the mystery of the incarnation, which simply means that God came in human form, the incarnation of Jesus? Fearsome? Yes. But there's a sense in which our fear turns to faith. Mm-hmm. The angel said, "Fear not." Why? Because Jesus is a shepherd we should fear, but we no longer have to be afraid of. See, that this royal announcement on a cold night in Bethlehem meant that those who put their faith in this baby Jesus would experience peace with God. And let me ask you this, if you're watching online or you're sitting in this room, have you experienced that peace with God in your life? This is what the angels meant by peace on earth towards men of good will. See, in one sense, the angels were reminding the shepherds that the temporary peace being experienced in the Roman Empire would one day give way to war. But only this Prince of Peace could usher in genuine shalom, true renewal. This baby Jesus would offer personal peace with God. Have you received that personal peace with God? See, the one who came to shepherds would be the good shepherd of their souls. The Lamb of God would fully atone for sin, for your sin and for my sin. No more would worshippers need to sacrifice actual lambs. And then thirdly, lastly, I can see that these shepherds, they lived with purpose. See, Luke makes sure that we know that the shepherds didn't waste time gazing into the Bethlehem sky. Once they heard the witness of the angels, they made haste, to quote the King James Version of Luke chapter 2. And wouldn't you, they couldn't keep this message to themselves. They abandoned all pretenses and they bolted into Bethlehem, sheep and all, to find the Messiah. Imagine the sight that must have been. Knocking on the doors, waking up the locals, shouting the good news that the long-awaited Messiah had finally come. See, they didn't simply marvel at the message. They believed it, and it changed their direction. It changed the course of their life. Let me ask you, has Jesus changed the course of your life? He is willing to do that. He is willing to turn your whole life around and change the course and direction of your life. See, a temptation for us this Christmas and every Christmas is simply to get full of the feels, as people say, that kind of warm sentiment of the season, and miss the good news at the heart of the holiday. Jesus came into the world to save you and to save me. See, the angels told the shepherds that this is good news and it's for you. It was personal. And I like how one commentator puts it when he's speaking about Luke chapter 2. He says, the truth is, even if Christ were born in Bethlehem 1,000 times, but not within you, you would be eternally lost. The Christ who was born into the world must be born in your heart. Religious sentiment, even at Christmas time, without the living Christ, is a yellow brick road to darkness. A yellow brick road to darkness. See, the shepherds left their fields and became the most unlikely of messengers. They believed. They were awed, and they lived with purpose. And let me ask you, this Christmas season, do you believe? Have you been awed that God would send Jesus into this world to rescue you and to rescue me? And do you live a life with purpose, or are you just simply going through the motions, doing what you've always done, expecting things to change, but never actually noticing any change? See, the shepherds, they became the world's first missionaries, the first in a long line of ordinary, unheralded messengers of the gospel. See, God is on the move. Despite what you see in the media, despite what they like to portray, God is on the move. God is building his church each and every single day, all around the world, mostly through people that you've never, ever heard of before. People without significant social media following, no official titles, and of whom the world is mostly unworthy. People like you and people like me. Who would have believed it? Who would have believed it? So let me ask you this Christmas time. Have you received that gift of Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus came in human flesh to die for you, to give you the greatest gift that could ever be given, to give you that peace in your life, to give you a purpose in your life?
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.